Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Good evening, everybody. We're here at the Pineville Grace House Fellowship Church, and Mark is going to come over here and read some scripture for us, and hopefully it will come out a little bit clearer tonight.
Mark 14:5-9, for mine have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor and murmured against her. And you said, let her alone. Why trouble you here? She did rather good work on me.
I think you read that the other night.
I don't think I did. Mark 12:1-5. And he began to speak to them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set in hedge about it, and digged a place, the wine fat, and built a tower. Let it out to husbandmen that went to the far country. At the season, he sent to the husbandmen a servant that he might receive the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. They got him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent to them another servant, and that him, they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent away in shame to handle. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and the other feed some and killed himself.
Well, this, of course, is the story really relating to Christ. You know, what did they do to Christ? Scripture says that he came to his own, and his own received him not. And what did they end up doing to Christ? They ended up killing him, didn't they? So there is physical Israel, and then there is spiritual Israel. Now the next song, or the first song we're going to sing tonight, is out of the old school hymn, page 99. And it's God Be With You. I remember singing this when I was just a lad, and it's taking on a whole new meaning since we have so few people that we can fellowship with. So, Mark, would you like to start that for us, please?
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Deep his wings protect behind you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's sparrow sick and found you, put his arms are bending round you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep the banner floating o'er you. Smile distractingly before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
Well, I was told that the last recording talks you. Did not come out too clear. Posted it on Sermon Audio, and I got a complaint about it. And so If no one shows up tonight, I'm just going to go over to sermon audio and do the teaching part on the message. But if someone does show up, you're important to us. We want your input and we want your fellowship. So the next one we're going to do is taking out the Psalter, page 38, Psalm 47a. 38, Psalm 47a.
All people, clap your hands, for joy big God in triumph shout. For terrible is the Lord, most high, great King, the earth throughout. He brings the people under us in mastery complete, and he it is to nations all subdues beneath our feet. The land of our inheritance he chooses out for us, and he to us the glory gives of Jacob whom he loves. God is ascended with a shout, the Lord comforting. Sing praises unto God, sing praises to our King. For God is King of all the earth, sing praise with understanding. God rules the nations, God sits on his throne of holiness. Assemble men of Abram's God, come people, princes mine. The shields of earth belong to God, he is exalted on.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing before we go over to the other part of our service is written by Ann Steele, and I like the song. The words of the song are wonderful. 482. And if you can't relate to this song, there's something wrong.
How oft, alas, this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How all my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. Forgetful of his word. Forgetful of his word. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. His sovereign mercy calls return, dear Lord, and may I come. My vile ingratitude I mourn, oh take the wanderer home. Oh, take the wander home. Oh, take the wander home. My vile ingratitude I mourn. Oh, take the wander home. And canst thou, will thou yet forgive and bid my crimes remove? And shall a pardoned rebel live to speak thy wondrous love? To speak thy wondrous love, to speak thy wondrous love, and shall a pardoned rebel live, to speak thy wondrous love. Almighty grace, thy healing power, how glorious, how divine, again to life and bliss restore, so vile a heart is mine. So vile a heart is mine, so vile a heart is mine, that can to life and bliss restore, so vile a heart is mine. That parting love so free, so sweet, dear Savior, I adore. Oh, keep me at thy sacred feet, and let me roam no more, and let me roam no more. and let me roam no more. Oh, keep me at thy sacred feet, and let me roam no more.
Well, welcome, California. How are you today?
Hi, Larry. This is Kevin. How's it going?
Yeah. It's going well.
Yeah. I just enjoyed Michael Smith's message this morning. It was very good.
Yes, it was good, and I got there for the second part of the service. We weren't there at the first part. We got there for about an hour and 15 minutes. So we got on a good portion of it. So we had a good time of fellowship, and then we had a good time of a luncheon afterwards. So it was really good.
Good. And I found James Tippins on Facebook. I like him too.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've heard the name. I don't think it's been a while, but yeah, there's a lot of good solid teachings out there.
Yeah, and Scott Price too. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, Scott.
Really enjoy it.
A lot of messages on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
He's very active on there. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, we had another, did you meet, I don't think you, when you were up here, Ed wasn't, but he was there today, and so we had a good time of fellowship with Brother Ed. He's 70, I think he's 76 years old, and I think Mark just joined us. Is that you, Mark?
Hello, Brother Larry. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Mark.
Well, we're glad that you both could be with us tonight. And John from Toronto just joined us. And, of course, he's in our room. So welcome, John. We're glad you could be with us tonight. I want to, before we start the recorder, I haven't started it yet. I want to just let you guys know we're going to be talking about this. The topic is Be Still and Know That I Am God. And I think it's a wonderful topic. And by the way, I give credit for this topic. First and foremost, I give credit to the Holy Spirit. But Walt Stickle is the one that brought this to me. We had a really good talk the other day. We talked about 3 hours on the phone.
Wow.
And we really enjoyed the fellowship with each other. And what I came out of that from Walt is he said, we need to learn how to just rest in Christ and just realize that he's done it all, and there is just comfort in resting in him. That's why I wanted to bring this subject to tonight. So when I start this recording, I'm going to read like 4 scriptures, and then I'm just going to go down the line. I'm going to turn it over to Kevin and have you give your thoughts about these passages I'm reading, and then we'll turn it over to Mark for a while, and then we'll just kind of go around. We'll see who else joins us. So I'll be right back, Kevin and Mark and John, okay?
Okay.
Oh, I guess I did start the program. Okay, so we are recording now, and I want to read the first scripture that I found, what I thought was really interesting, was in Psalm 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. And then the next one is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And then the next one is Psalm 84:4. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising me, Selah. And then the next is Isaiah 23:2. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle. Thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And then the last two, Jeremiah 47:6, O thou sword of the Lord, how long will it be ere thou be quiet? Put up thyself unto thy scabbard, rest and be still. And then the final one, of course, is the account of Jesus calming the winds there, Mark 4:39, and he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So I'm turning over to Kevin, and Kevin, I welcome you tonight in this topic, Be Still and Know That I Am God. Why don't you give us your thoughts on this?
Well, okay. when I think of being still, I think of what it says that we are his workmanship created unto good works, which he afore ordained that we should walk in them. So to me, I have to be still and to wait. It says, he that ministers, let him wait on his ministering. In other words, to let the Holy Spirit guide us into the work that we're to be doing. It's awfully easy to imagine all kinds of things that we could do for the Lord. And, you know, we can be off in one direction when the Holy Spirit is calling us to another. So to me, I have to be still at times. The other thought I had was when we're told in Romans 4:25 that he was raised for our justification, meaning that the saints were all justified by the resurrection of Christ and certainly by his finished work on the cross, we can rest in that. We can't add to it, and we can't take anything from it. The saints are already justified and accepted of God. So there are times when we get feeling really weak and we just say, Lord, I am weak and thou art strong. There are times when we're not doing what we think we should be doing, or we're not operating with the energy that we used to have, and we're questioning whether we're adequate. And therein we have to rest and be still, knowing that our salvation is secured and we are seen by God as perfect and holy in his sight, all because of the work of our Savior. And so these were my thoughts about being still, first being guided by the Holy Spirit, and secondly, understanding that our justification is secure, even though at times we wonder if we're worth anything. I mean, in ourselves, we are worthless, and it's hard for us to come to that realization when we're so active in what we believe in serving the Lord. But in and of ourselves, we are nothing, and he is everything.
That's very good. We just got through singing a song about that, poor, weak, and worthless though I am, I have a rich, almighty friend, Jesus the Savior. His name, I don't think, that may not have been the song we sang, but it was a song by Ann Steele, and it had the same connotation that in and ourselves, apart from we're absolutely nothing. Very good points you're making, and I think of the passages in Hebrews that talks about, you know, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people. And Rosette just found, it's interesting that you brought that up, because it was before you came on, we sang the song, I'll just do the first stanza. How oft this wretched heart has wandered from the Lord. How oft my roving thoughts depart, forgetful of his word. And then it starts by saying, it ends by saying, thy pardoning love, so free, so sweet, dear Savior, I adore. Oh, keep me at thy sacred feet and let me roam no more. So,
that's wonderful. Yeah.
Mark, I want you to kind of pick up where Kevin left off there and your thoughts on this. And I'm glad to have you with us, both you and Kevin and John tonight. And Louise, also, I see Louise just joined us, and Louise, we're very delighted to have you on board tonight. And we've been praying for you, sister. And I want you to know that everyone on this call has been praying, and Joplin has been praying for you. You all are in our thoughts, and Rosette's beaming to see that you're on with us tonight. She's got a big grin on her face. So, anyway, go ahead, Mark.
Sure. Yes, I agree with everything Kevin said.
It's a spirit of quiet confidence when, you know, people in the world get stressed out, they immediately go into frantic activity, but we want to just sit down. God knows our needs before we ask him, and he will send our need, whatever we need, he will send it right when we need it so that we will maintain our awareness of our dependence upon him. Let's see, I'm trying to think of what else to say. Just that we will be calm in our spirit of assurance that he will provide what we need physically and spiritually as we need it, so that our dependence is on him and we continue in that realization.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. By the way, Go ahead, Kevin.
I love those words that Jacob said when he was sleeping on the rock and he saw the ladder and the angels going up and down. He said, if God will feed and clothe me and bring me again to my father's house, he can be my God.
Mm-hmm.
Now that sounds kind of a boastful statement if we look at it on the surface. But what he meant was that he could rest and have no wants, like in the Psalms, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Jacob understood that if God would do all those things for him, then what else could he want? And that's how we should feel, too.
Without God's blessing, I was thinking of your thing on Jake when he was wrestling with the angel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm paraphrasing, but I won't stop until you bless me, okay?
Hey, right. Yeah, that's right.
I think that's where his thigh got out of joint, too,
The Lord knew what humiliation he had to endure to walk in faith, and not by his clever wits, which had,
Absolutely. Good with Jacob. I've been listening through, and I sent it out to everybody. There's a great audio. The guy is an excellent reader, and he reads through all of The Sovereignty of God by Arthur Pink. I sent it out to everybody.
Oh, that's great.
I would very highly recommend you listen to it. The guy's a phenomenal reader, and he accentuates all the points that Pink makes. And the thing that has been so startling to me as I've been reading through it, it's 9 hours of reading, but it's been such a blessing because it's been about 20 years since I read through that book. And
sure.
I was thinking, Arthur Pink died in 1952, and that was the year that Rosette was born. And I was just thinking, if Arthur Pink was living today, his message would be the same today as it was back in the 50s, you know?
Oh, yeah. He'd still be talking double predestination. out of his book,
He did do a real interesting talk one time, and it was if you can't find biblical teaching in an assembly, stay home and read your Bible.
That's good.
Yeah. Be better than that than going to most congregations these days.
Yeah, that's right.
Sure. So much.
No, I heard something, Larry. You might remember. You remember Alexander Hislop's The Two Babylons. The newer version of that has deleted the truth about Roman Catholicism in the back of it. You've heard that, right? Yeah, I think Ed told us that.
I think you told me about that, and I went on, and I couldn't believe you were absolutely right. I verified that.
Yeah, Ed told us about that, too. Yeah. Well, another thing, there's a British publisher that has published The Sovereignty of God, and I've heard that he left out the chapter on double predestination.
Wow.
So I don't know. I haven't verified that, but that's what I've heard, so I don't know.
I can tell you the audio book that I sent you doesn't leave it out because I've already listened to it.
That's wonderful. Wonderful,
it's strong. It's so strong on reprobation, and he is so articulate. I'm not exalting Arthur Pink, but I believe the Holy Spirit used Arthur Pink in a mighty way. I know.
Yeah. And he was hated in his day. He was a real outcast in organized religion, you know.
Yeah. In fact, he ended up in the latter part of his life going back to the Isle of Lewis in Scotland where he was born because nobody in America wanted preaching.
Yeah. Well, God bless. Thank you, Lord, for giving him to us. Yeah.
Well, I was also thinking about this, be still and know that I am God, as it relates to our salvation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was thinking about that verse in Acts, the 13th chapter, the 48th verse, it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
They did not subscribe to a false doctrine. They subscribed to the truth of what Christ had already accomplished, you know, for them.
Yes, that's right.
I think that's part of us being still and knowing that he is God, is recognizing that you already stated it, that the work is already done, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, the Lord has spoken. Who but can prophesy? You know, we just dare not add to or take from his word, as he warns us in Revelation.
Right.
And the saints don't do that, because we're made still by the Holy Spirit in us to listen and to hear and to be discerning as the Spirit gives us understanding. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. The fourth psalm, you know, we sing a lot of the psalms, and we sing fourth psalm a lot. It's not exactly word for word out of the King James Version, but the same context is there.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this psalm is, it's so good. It says, but thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. And the thing that's so interesting is, I was reading in the third psalm, but you know how they say that there's no divisions in the chapters? Well, this third psalm just goes right into the fourth psalm, and it starts out by saying, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast been me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And he says in verse 4 again, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. How many times, and I'm sure everyone on this call has had this experience. Have you all had a situation? I've had this many, many times where it's about bedtime. I'm getting ready to go to bed. And my thoughts are racing, and I'll lay down to go to sleep, and I'll just pray. And when I begin to pray and petition the Lord for, you know, to calm me and everything, it's amazing the calm that comes over us.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, he says that people actually were looking at me, seeing my serenity in my pajamas and my bare feet when I had to exit the building last Monday. And I wasn't all stressed out. I wasn't worried. And even, it was interesting, Larry, at the park where they took us, there were people there that required medication four times a day. And there were two women there that professed to be Christians. And they were just so stressed out that they didn't have their meds and that they just had to get attention from the Red Cross. And I thought, where is your faith? You know, the Lord knows you. The Lord knows you're here without your meds. You know, isn't he the physician? Isn't he the one that can heal if you just touch him?
Oh, And I, Kevin, I hope you give me license on this. That it, you know, I hope you're okay with. But I want to share something personally. By the way, Kevin, I shared this with Walt, and he was really touched by this. I shared with Walt, and I'm not saying this to exalt Kevin. I'm just saying it because the Holy Spirit used it as a witness to all of my family. Okay, on this whole thing about being that I'm God. So when Kevin got ready to go back, to fly back, he was happy.
My computer shared with me, recently.
Yeah, who is this? Who was that? Okay, can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, I heard a background noise. I don't know what it was, but anyway, what happened was that he had a ID card that had expired, and when the people that were doing the screening found out, they put poor Kevin through all kind of hurdles. He had to go in a special room and have a take his socks off and shirt off.
The special pat down. Yeah, right.
And I watched the way they treated Kevin. It took everything I could to keep. I mean, it was the Lord restraining me, but I thought, here they're treating a 76-year-old man like a criminal. They have his car and see it's him. Okay.
Yeah.
And I wanted the flesh part of me wanted to go in there and just.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Sure.
But I thought Kevin was just off. He didn't give him any hard time. He just put up with all the garbage. But it told me one thing, how bad our society has gotten in treating people. And then the other thing, though, was the testimony that it showed by Kevin and him just being still. Okay? Kevin, it was a great testimony. And I thank God for that.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Because it might have been the Lord's will that I take the train. You know, I didn't care one way or the other.
Right.
Whatever he wanted. Yeah.
Walt, I said, after we got the tickets and everything, Kevin looked at me and said, well, I could have an issue. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, it's no big deal.
Yeah,
he said, it's one of three things, Larry. I said, what are you talking about? Got an ID card that's expired. He said, either God can keep them from seeing the expiration date and they'll take me,
or
a hard time and they'll take me, or they'll reject me and I'll take the train. Okay, so I said,
right. And you'll have to drive me. You'll have to drive me 4 hours to get there, which I didn't want to have happen. That's why I wanted to fly back.
Yeah, and then on top of all of, and I'm gonna let Kev tell the rest of the story. After he gets off the plane, God had prepared another test for him. Kevin, tell everybody what happened. Fly back.
Well, the thing is, I had to take three separate planes to get home, and I couldn't believe it, you know. And when you go to Dallas Fort Worth, Texas airport, it's enormous. And the walking, you have to walk so much to get to a gate, especially if your gate is like M or N or O or P instead of A. You have to walk so much. And then after I walked for like 2 hours, I found out there was a shuttle train that came by, and I could have ridden that, but I didn't know about it. But anyway, I had to take three separate planes, and I got home like at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when it was only a 4-hour flight. I should have gotten home like at 11 in the morning or something.
Yeah. Did your flight part? Do you remember?
Boy, that's a good one. I have to think about that. Yeah. I can't remember.
I think it was about 7:30.
It could be. I was supposed to be home like at 11 or 12. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you didn't get home till 5 o'clock that night. Wow.
Yeah, because the planes were late, and so I had to wait for another plane. You know, it went on and on. And then when I got back, my luggage wasn't with me. It was where it should have been had I had the right connections all along. So my suitcase wasn't with all the other suitcases coming out, you know, when I went to get it. So I just sat down. I was praying, saying, Lord, you know where this suitcase is, you know. And then one of the flight attendants or one of the ground people came up and asked me my name, and I told them, and they said, oh, we have your bag. Come with me. But, you know, I just thank God. It all worked out. And my brother Gary was at the airport. Oh, he was there at 11:30 in the morning, and he waited for me till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And that was really nice. Yeah. Then we were able to have something to eat and come home.
This was Sister Louise, and she kind of got a little tickled because she goes, wow, just the opposite thing happened to me.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think in coming in is when she was speaking up, because you were late coming in, too. On Amtrak, you were 3 hours late.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. And you waited, too, for me, right? You showed up real early, and you were there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mark was with me at the Union Station in Kansas City, and walked up to the window, and they said, you're not going to like what we're going to have to tell you, but that track Amtrak,
late. Yeah. Right,
I thought, how is Mark going to respond to this, okay? And
right.
You know what? Mark handled it real well. We sat there in the Union Station for 3 hours, and we had a real good time of fellowship. And
that's wonderful. To know that God is in control of everything, you know, and he tests our faith, you know. He'll throw us a curve, you know, when we least suspect it. That's when it shows, you know, do we really have faith or not, you know?
That's right.
So I was really blessed by the demeanor of you and Mark after having waited so long for me. You know, you weren't stressed out over it, and neither was I, you know. And it's a wonderful testimony that we share when we're in each other's company.
Yeah, Sister Louise was a big help because I had my smartphone, and Rosette, I had no way of letting her know that I was going to be 3 hours late. And I knew that Louise was supposed to be coming to Rosette, to our place. So I called Sister Louise on her cell phone, and I said, she goes, I'm already here. And I go, wow.
Right,
and I said,
right.
You and Rosette.
Tell Louise that I really miss having fellowship with her, because I really enjoyed the fact that she came from a big city like myself, and we came there, and you know, we might have shared more, but we didn't talk too much, but maybe next time, maybe next year.
Maybe.
We'll
by the way, I am doing some long-range planning for next year, and one thing I'm going to try to do is I'm going to make it the second week in April of next year.
Oh, okay.
That way it won't be so hot, you know what I'm saying?
That's good.
The heat and the humidity at the same time, if that's a possibility. Well, let's get Mark a little bit here. Mark, kind of give us some of your experiences that you firsthand have had when you've recognized the Holy Spirit has just kind of quieted you and caused you to be still and know that he's God. Can you give us a couple personal experiences?
That would have been most recently last year when I had to move on short notice from a place that I had lived, because there was a manager fellow there who was not very pleasant, and he would say mean things to me and set me off occasionally, and so then I had to find a new place to live in within 2 months time frame, and it worked just fine. And I would get irritated from time to time, and then I would calm down at other times and know that God would take care of it.
Yeah. You know, I applaud you for your honesty, because so many people aren't willing to share that, you know, that there are times when we find ourselves not resting in Christ, and that's when we need him the most. You know, recently, I think I've shared this maybe already. If I'm being redundant, forgive me. But we were going over to Pineville the other day, And as you know, this is really windy, curvy up here on this highway. And,
yeah.
And all of a sudden I went around a curve and there was a guy right in the middle of the road with a van, right in the middle of the road. And I slammed on my brakes. I almost ran into the guy. And
wow.
then I looked down and I saw that he had one of these wide load signs on his bumper. Not a real big one, just a little wide load sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was not being still and know that I'm God at that point. I was not.
Mm-hmm.
I said, are you doing? Do you realize you just about caused an accident? And he said, I'm just doing my job, and you need to get off of this highway now because we've got a 70-foot beam coming around the curve, okay? And so it's like Kevin was saying, you know, God sends these things into our life to see what our response is going to be, you know.
That's beautiful, yeah. Now, of course, he knows already what our response is, but
sure.
he wants us to see how we respond.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's good. And Mark, I appreciate you sharing that, and I'm glad that the good Lord opened the door for you to get another place that you didn't have to deal with that fella anymore.
Yeah, that was here. Yeah. And he's still over there because whenever I ride over to like the 7-Eleven over there to get a snack or something, I see him every once in a while. He's an older Hispanic fellow and he doesn't believe in God at all. And he's got the most foul mouth. He's just a totally unpleasant person to be around. So it's nice I don't have to interact with him anymore.
Oh, that's wonderful. Kevin, would you mind sharing, this is primarily for the benefit of Sister Louise, but you'd mentioned to me, Sister Louise, I hope it's okay. I took the liberty to request prayer and what you're going through with Sam and how he's being, it looks like he's going to have to go to Afghanistan. And Kevin, you had a wonderful word regarding that and God's protecting hand over, was it your son that?
It was my second wife's son. Yeah.
Okay, share that with us for Sister Louise's benefit.
Well, yeah, my second wife, she very much didn't like the military and didn't want her two boys to go into the military. But the oldest one went in first through an ROTC program in high school, I think it was, up in Oregon. And he went in, and then the younger one wanted to follow, but his mother had more influence on the younger one than the older one. So she talked him into going into the National Guard, where he might be safer, she thought. Well, it turned out that Schwarzenegger, who was the governor of California at the time, he gave the National Guard, California National Guard, to the Army. The Army called for it. And so he then was positioned to go overseas, and he went to Iraq. And my wife was very distraught over that. I mean, she made phone calls trying to talk to his company commander and all kinds of things. But he had already sworn his allegiance to Uncle Sam, and he was their property. And so he had to go, you know. And she just had a very difficult time over that. And
by the way, I'll interrupt you. I can understand that as a parent and as a mother. You love your children.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it turned out that he was very skilled at woodworking. He had done some building construction work around our apartment, and he was very useful in the military. And so he did a lot of construction work. He was at Bagram Air Force Base the Army base in Iraq. He did, I think, three tours overall. He even extended. He liked what he was doing. He liked it. And he came back, and he got married, and he settled down. But we prayed for him while he was gone. And even my wife had to realize that God is in control here, and he's going to have his way with her boy, and it's not her property at all. It's God's property. And she settled into that, and she rested in that. So that was good. But, yeah, we have to know that our will is not to be done. It's His will to be done, not our will. And that's a real submission, you know, that we have to come through. Yeah.
Sometimes when these things come up, it's hard. It's really hard because when you love someone, I said this morning, I don't know if it actually got on the audio recording, but he made the statement, you know, as much as I love all of my children, I don't know that they're all elect children of God.
That's good.
And he said, that's God's prerogative as to what He does with His creation, including my children.
He said,
if it's God's purpose to save some and not all, I can't change. As much as I love my children, that's a matter between.
Well, that's very good. That's good. Yeah.
And he
can teach his children that too as they grow up.
Yeah.
And boy, that should put the fear of God in them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and you could tell they were really listening. You know, when he said that.
Yeah, for sure. Because God gives our children; they're on loan to us. You know, and then we're to teach them and guide them as best we can, and then leave the outcome with God. Yeah.
And that's a totally, by the way, that's a totally different message than what I experienced when I was in the Reformed Presbyterian Church, the message they gave to their children.
Mm-hmm.
Their message to their children, you're covenant children. You don't have anything to worry about. You've already been baptized. Just go back. And they would tell them. I think it's a health message to give to everyone. Make your calling sure. You know, not that we can do anything about it, but we are to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. You know.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a scripture that says that children are an heritage from the Lord. I think that may be in Psalms, I think.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the two.
Yeah.
But you think about Rebecca. Here she is. She has twins in her womb, and neither one of them have done any good or evil, but the purpose of God according to election stood. Jacob, Esau, he hated, you know.
Right. And the angel said there's two nations in your womb. Two nations. And that's the nation of Esau and the nation of Jacob. Meaning the elect or the non-elect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's an incredible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking back to this Mark 4:39, and we've heard it a lot, but it says that Christ arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still.
Mm.
And just love the response, you know, of the disciples. Who is this that the wind and sea obey him? Okay.
Yeah, right.
So if we think about that in context of our lives, you know, if he is over the wind and the sea and the rain and the tornadoes, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he can take care, you know, remember that song we used to sing, His Eye Is on the Sparrow and I Know He Watches Me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, Mark and I went to a church lunch one Saturday, and it was an Episcopalian church, and the preacher calls himself Father this or Father that. And he gave a message about when Jesus calmed the storm. And then he said to his disciples, where is your faith? And so he was teaching us that he believed the disciples were to have faith in Christ that he could do it. In other words, they should believe that certainly Jesus could do this. But I believe in Christ's mind when he said, where is your faith? I believe he was saying, why couldn't you do what I just did? I see it that way. I don't know if you do, Larry, but I do.
You know, there's a, there's in the old school hymnal, trying to find it, but, I'll have Rosette look for it. It is I. There's a song, and it's called It Is I.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure it is. It's 202. And this is, I love this song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's around this theme. And if it's okay, is it okay if Rosette and Mark and I sing it for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because it goes along with the theme of our, you know, be still and know that I am God.
Right.
Mark it, the 202, and I'll have Mark kind of help us start this. Okay, Mark? When the storm in its fury on Galilee fell and lifted its waters on high, and the faithless disciples were bound in the spell, Jesus whispered, fear not, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I. The storm could not bury that word in the wave, was taught through the tempest to fly. It shall reach his disciples in every age, saying, be not afraid, it is I. When the spirit is broken with sorrow and care, and comfort is ready to die, then darkness shall pass, sunshine appear, by the life-giving word, it is I. When death is at hand and his cottage of life is left with a tremulous sigh, the gracious Redeemer will light all the way. Be not afraid, it is I. It is I, it is I. Fear not, trembling one, it is I. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the gloom, fear not, trembling one, it is I.
Good words.
Well, Brother Kevin Louise wanted to thank you for sharing that with her.
Yeah,
So she wanted me to, or she chat, she put in the chat room to
thank you.
For that. So,
thank you, sis.
And I think that's what true fellowship is building each other up, you know, and
mm-hmm.
through these times to be for each other, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah. Well, you know, be still and know that I'm God. Another scripture I wanted to kind of go over again, if I could, is... this is kind of interesting because this goes back to our relationship to those who are not in Christ. And this says, I'm in the 46th Psalm, the 10th verse, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And Michael this morning brought up the fact that the scripture that says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
And I think that's what this is also referring to, that it's already a decree of God that King Jesus will be exalted in the earth and among the heathen. You know?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Because in the second Psalm it says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And it says, I will have derision, okay?
Right.
And so, you know, when we see all of this around us, and we are seeing, you know, a lot of things that just cause us to just, you know, wonder why Christ is still, you know, tarried, you know?
Right.
Like Kevin has said, you know, that scripture in the 24th chapter of Matthew says that for the very elect's sake, those days will be shortened, you know?
Yes, yes.
We find that God, he's coming back. Go ahead, Kevin.
We sang Psalm 12 this morning, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases from the faithful. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Yeah. Wow. And that's why we're so comforted when we read things like that, because we see that this wickedness will not have the upper hand in the end. They do have it for now. And it's all for our testing. It's all for our good that we have to navigate through it and yet love them and pray for them. But in the end, they're going to get theirs. Yeah.
That's real good.
Yeah.
Just
desserts. Yes.
Well, yeah. I've always been comforted regarding the Psalms of David when he's crying out God. You know, he's showing his own fleshiness, if you want to put it that way. In other words, how long wilt thou forsake me, O God? You know, and that really speaks to me because, I've heard certain preachers, in the health and wealth arena, they try to say you should never, ever, show lack of faith and all of this. And, it's just you're not trusting God if you're out, crying out to God. And I always say, well, what about David? David made his petitions known to God. Anyway, I like your point about faith, because if we have the faith of Christ, and we don't have any worries, right? Reality is we are still in the flesh, and so we are still going to be in this spiritual battle. There's a big part of the a lot of people that are into sovereign grace that are really into denial about, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow night on Talk Shoot, but they're really into denial. They're really into denial about spiritual warfare. In other words, now we know that Christ has already completed all of the work. We know that, but the reality is we are still living down here on this earth. I think it's going to be a great thing, and you guys might want to look up some different scriptures regarding, put on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, put on the helmet of salvation, and so on. And why are we so exhorted by Paul and Peter and Jude and all these different writers of the New Testament exhort us to, I think even in Hebrews, doesn't it say we have not yet striven to a point of blood?
Yes.
We're in a warfare, and there's a lot of people that are saying we're even in a warfare.
Sure. When it says your adversary, the devil, roams up and down in the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour us, not our souls, but he can devour our bodies. If we give them to him. So, and Satan's had 6,000 years of history working on the human race. We have to never underestimate the guile of his enticements, not only from the world, but also the sin that works in our flesh. We don't know the depths of our depravity. Yeah.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And I think once we acknowledge that, not only acknowledge it to ourselves, but acknowledge it publicly, we are in a struggle, we're in a warfare, but we know that God will cause us to persevere in our faith.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we are going to overcome. Thank you, Jesus. We are more than conquerors. I love that expression. We are more than conquerors. I mean, to conquer means to win, but we're more than winners. That's great.
We all have our favorites, some of our favorite scriptures. I think two of the my favorite verses in the whole Bible are the 25th verses of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever.
That's wonderful.
All glory goes to God. Now, welcome guest 6. Guest 6 has just joined us. I'm not sure who that is. It may be Andrew Brown. Andrew has been with us almost on every talk show. He comes in the chat room. And I'm hoping someday I get to meet Andrew Brown. He lives in the same... He lives in Wichita, Kansas, and that's where my sister lives. And guest just joined us as well.
Mm.
So anyway, I want to welcome the guests that have just come on board. Mark mentioned one particular experience regarding this move that you went through. Now, can you give, because when I was younger, about 20 years ago, you all know the experience I went through. It was kind of a harrowing experience with my job at the state of Missouri, and it was a 5-year battle. And there were times, I have to be honest, when I remember telling them that I don't even know why I even got involved in this, and I started questioning it. See, that's the issue. Because, in fact, I was sharing this morning, you know, they used to have a song that was called Wasted Years, okay?
I remember that, yeah.
Well, if you think about it, I've had people say to me, Larry, if you had it to do all over, would you do it all over? And I look at them and I say, wait a minute. I wonder if you would ask Joseph that, okay?
Joseph,
it all over, as if you had any control in the matter. God was completely in control over Joseph's life, including having him sold into slavery and being put in prison, being at the top of the top, next to Pharaoh, and all of that. So what into this, if I'd only, or I remember different people saying to me, you know, wow, you sure made a wrong decision when you went into social work, you know, and stuff. Really, think about it, that's a denial of the sovereignty of God in providence.
Yes, right.
You know.
Yeah.
And Mark, my question is, after you came to a saving knowledge of Christ and really began to embrace these doctrines, were you ever faced with, and I'm sure we all have been, but can you recall having faced anything that was kind of a real test of your faith?
That would have been, you know, that time last year when I had to move from one place to another in a short period of time.
Well, that's a great testimony. And Kevin, you probably knew him at that time and saw what he was going through, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, he kind of panicked. He gave all his stuff away. He gave me his television.
Okay.
Bit of other stuff.
Yeah. He didn't know where he was going or how big the place would be to accommodate him, you know. But that was a perfect opportunity, though, to just stand perfectly still and not make any rash moves or any rash judgments and just wait and see, you know.
Right.
I mean, when I got the order to leave my apartment, when I stayed with Craig, you remember, Mark? Remember when I was living with Craig?
When was that?
When they told me I had to leave Craig's place, and I'd been there for 5 years.
12 or 13, something like that?
Yeah, I forget. Actually, I've been here 4 years. So, yeah, it's 2013, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, my first thought was, oh, where am I going to go? Well, you know, what am I going to do? You know, because I got an order to leave and I had to leave. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to rent just a room in a house somewhere and pay a little bit of rent, you know, and then I get a call to the place that I had signed up for 5 years earlier and had almost forgotten about it, they called me and told me I could move in because I had waited the 5 years they required that you wait. And then my first thought is, yeah, but they're going to take a third of my income, and I can live cheaper than that. And then the Lord said, shut up. He said, I gave you that place 5 years ago, and you're going to take it. So I took it.
That's good. Now you've lived there 4 years, huh?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And it is known around here that I know the Bible. So that's good. That's a good start for people. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And I'm available to talk to anybody. And there are times when people are pressed, you know, and they're more yielding to listen. And so I talk with a lot of people, and that's what God brought me here for, you know, and to pray against the false teachers that have been in here, to pray that the Lord would take them out, you know, and he does. So. I mean, there's been church groups that come in here and pass the basket because they want to collect money from these seniors.
Wow.
Yeah, you know how that works, you know. You know how they work.
Well, you know what? That's evil.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it's so evil to go in a senior building like that and troll for donations. That's evil.
I know. Yeah, that's what they do.
Rosette and Mark and I used to sing in three different nursing homes. When we lived up in Northwest Missouri, where our rental properties are, every month we sang in three different nursing homes. And we'd sing the Psalms and we'd sing the old hymns.
Oh,
and one day, and I'm sure this gal was Roman Catholic, one day after us singing, and she came up and she was all teary-eyed and everything. And she said, I want to give you something. And of course, we never took anything. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I didn't want any bad relationship with the administrations and the nursing home.
Sure.
So I wouldn't take any money. I wouldn't take any gifts. I wouldn't take anything. Well, anyway, she had this little glass angel, and she wanted Rosette to have it. And Rosette says, "Well, I can't really take it, you know." It really hurt her, and so Rosette finally took it, and then she went to the administrator and gave it to her and said, here, I didn't want to hurt her feelings, and I want to give it back, but we don't take anything from the residents, you know?
Okay,
and so
that's neat, yeah.
That's the way Rosette handled it, but
that's good.
We don't want to hurt people's feelings, but at the same time, like you said, Mark, that's pretty low going in and trolling from a senior citizen center, you know.
Right.
I don't think too highly of that.
Yeah.
I agree.
So I thank the Lord, you know, he's given me peace to stay here, and that's where it's at, you know. So
great. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, how far does Gary live from you guys?
Gary's in North.
Yeah, North Long Beach. He's probably, what, like 30-minute bus ride?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
6-hour bus ride.
Oh.
So do you see Gary, what, two or three times a week, or how often?
Yeah, probably two, maybe three times a week, yeah. He comes down on Sunday for sure. We meet at Carl's, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. And then we go to church lunches on Saturday in different places, yeah.
Gotcha.
And the market's on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Well, listen, thank everybody. I want to thank everybody that's joined us tonight. We're coming down to the top of the hour.
Okay.
And I think it's been a real good discussion. And I think it's got very much practical implications for our own lives. Be still and know that I'm God. More than anyone on this call. Okay. So.
Okay.
We all. Yeah. Recognize our need, our daily need of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
I wanted to just make a couple of announcements. We are going to be having a talk show tomorrow night at the same time, and again, it's going to be on spiritual warfare, and I'll try to get out some scriptures to folks that we're going to be discussing before then.
Okay.
Also, Wednesday night, Kevin has agreed concurrently, or I guess as long as he can, to do our Wednesday night talk shoes with us. And Kevin, are you still going to talk on that article? I'm sorry, I couldn't find the rest of that article.
It's okay. The one that's, it is man who, and then there's 10 points, and then it is God who. Right. That one, yeah. I was able to scan that to my computer, so I can send that to you.
Oh, great. That would
be yeah, great. Yeah.
And I'll, yeah, because, I'll make, you can
go ahead.
If there's any way you can send it to my email address,
I'll do it.
Because it's a lot easier for me to convert from my email, and then I'll get a copy out to everybody. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, that'll work. Yeah.
So anyway, just kind of do a quick summation of what that's about. Again, Kevin, it's about the contrast between me and God. In other words, self-centered or God-centered. Is that kind of in touch?
Yeah, it has 10 points that describe what man is by nature, and what he is and what he isn't, and then there's 14 points of who God is and what He does for the natural man of His choosing to save him. So
right.
What we can do is we can read one, and the scripture is given for the statement, but we can also express in our own words what we would think of it as well. So
mm-hmm.
I think
okay.
it would be useful. I think it would be useful, yeah.
That'd be great. So
yeah.
We're looking for that. We're looking for that on Wednesday night at the same time,
mm-hmm.
6:00, and I always look forward to hearing Kevin and Mark's topics, because it's just, I get tired of listening to me all the time. And it's been a great addition to our program. I really don't have anything else to add. Does anyone have any final comments before we close this out, or any announcements or anything they want to share? Okay.
No, I just thank the Lord for our talk. We had a good time.
Yes.
Thank you for those who listened in. And
yes. Well, we hope to, we convey to everyone blessings. And, we're told to greet one another with a holy kiss, so I hereby kiss all of you.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord.
All right. You guys have a great evening, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow night. Hope so. God bless.
Okay.
God bless you. Okay, good night.
Good night, Mark.
Good night, Kevin.